I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, Lombardi Line here on a Sunday. Thrilled to have the big guy in town. You take a look. What's the king of sportsbooks? It's BetMGM. They've been sponsoring the Lombardi Line for years. Visit BetMGM.com and download the BetMGM app. Remember, loyalty program, so every time you bet, you get points. Check it out, BetMGM.com. Frank Lampard is celebrating an Everton win over Chelsea. Michael Lombardi was into that game earlier.
I'm loving this, Patrick.
Everton was Paul McCartney's team growing up.
I love this. It's the fans there are just, it's unbelievable. Did you have Everton in this game?
I did not. Unfortunately, I was on Chelsea, which is unfortunate. It was a bad bet. It was an impulse bet.
Chelsea's for sale. So are the Denver Broncos. Rumor has it the Walton family will become the owners of the Broncos. That's the rumor going around the NFL draft this week. That seems to be.
Is that what's I had heard rumors about the Walton family. What does that mean potentially for the Denver
I don't think
Broncos?
It means anything. I think it you know it doesn't mean it's going to mean a lot for the league because these guys are going to make a. I mean, I think it's going to go for over $4.5 billion. Which is remarkable for these franchises. I don't know what Chelsea's going to go for.
Chelsea's going to go for a lot.
But Chelsea, everybody's into Chelsea. The 76er owner, Josh Harris, is into that one. Everybody's into this one.
Are you bullish on Russell and Denver?
I think, to me, it's a great question. I love Russell.
I'll give you the win total.
I think it's 9.5 or 9.
Okay.
I love Russell. I think Russell has got to play better.
He wasn't great last year.
He was not cooking last year. Mm-mm. And that was a problem. And there's a lot of good players on Denver's team. We've been talking about Denver. I mean, Brett Musburger's been killing me because every year I pick Denver to beat the Raiders and because they have such good talent, and yet they can't quite do it. They haven't been able to get over the top. Now with a quarterback, they should be able to do it.
How about this? So if you just heard Michael talking about the Broncos win total, it's at 9.5 down to 9. It's actually 10. 110 up and down. So your vibe to me is closer. I'd go under that posted total at 10.
Yeah.
And it's 110, so it's not moving either up or down.
Well, I mean, look, last year we saw Russ miss some games. I think when you're betting these unders, you got to take into two factors. I think you got to take into consideration the backup quarterback because you're betting on that the guy's not going to have a great year and he's not going to stay healthy the whole time. So you come in play with the backup. Like if you want to bet Washington's under, for example, you know, okay, you could say, well, I hate Wentz, but Heineke might come in and play and save him. So you got to be a little careful there because they've won in some games with Heineke. So whereas in Denver, are they going to be good enough?
New coach.
Change. If Wilson gets hurt, there, you know, you got to be careful about that. Whereas in Philadelphia, for example, we know that if they lose Jalen Hurts, this might actually increase their win total. I love all these fans in soccer. It's remarkable how
it's nonstop singing and chanting. It's incredible.
Is the beer warm or cold over there?
Where do you get your impression of European beers? Is always when I said Guinness, you immediately thought warm beer.
Yeah, I do.
You don't have to drink it warm. You been to Ireland?
No, I have not.
Well, what are you waiting on?
I asked Michael Gahn that when I had lunch with him the other day. What a wonderful man. And I asked him if the beer was cold, warm in Ireland. He said, no, you can get it cold. And I was appreciative of that.
Ben, you can drink it cold. I asked you about Ireland because I think Hackett looks Irish to me. Are you bullish on Hackett as the head coach? There's an adjustment with the new coach there in Denver.
Well, I love Nathaniel. I love his father. His father and I started out together at the 49ers in 1984. So I'm rooting for him. Paul Hackett, I think this whole idea that the offense, one thing Russell will have going for him, this offense will be West Coast, what he wants, what he does. Russell has to move. Russell's got to be able to make plays with his feet. Last year, only 183 yards on the ground rushing. It's the lowest total he's ever had. He's got to be able to run the ball, get first downs with his feet, kind of slide in the pocket and make some throws. He did not do that last year. I mean, he did not play well last year. Now, can he come back and bounce back? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll see if he does that. I mean, I would bet that he does because I've seen quarterbacks bounce back. Look, when I went to New England in 14, I didn't think Brady had much left. I thought he was...
We're now 10 years later almost.
10 years later.
It's incredible.
I mean, you look at Brady in 13, and I defy anybody to tell me he played great in 13.
It's an outlier, but you're 100% right. It looked like that's the way it was trending.
Right, and when you add the age factor into the play, you're saying, wait a minute, I'm a little worried here.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried here. But it proved to be completely wrong.
I mean, he's going to have weapons. We know this as far as Denver's concerned.
There's no doubt. Denver's got weapons. They know what to do. And he'll do a good job of getting the ball to Sutton. He'll do a good job of getting the ball to the guys he's got to get the ball to. They just signed Melvin Gordon back. They got Williams, the running back, who I think is really good. The offensive line's pretty much intact. It's going to come down to how good will they be on defense.
What do teams think about being on Hard Knocks?
They hate it. They all hate it.
I get the impression the Raiders and Gruden were kind of reveling in it a little bit. I thought he was hamming it up.
You can't really like it. I mean, it's annoying. They're there in your face all the time, and you've got to kind of play to the camera a little bit. So,
I ask you because Detroit is going to be on Hard Knocks, of course, Dan Campbell, and they got an A+ from your boys over at PFF. So let's go through what they did. They moved up for Jameson Williams. What was the reaction? What were the texts you were getting after moving up 20 spots there? Remember, they did have two first-round picks. Two overall, they go Hutchinson.
Well, I mean, look, the one thing I think most people thought they would do was get a chance to improve their defense, but they need to improve their offense too. I mean, they signed DJ Chark this offseason, which gives them another outside guy, vertical outside receiver. And then they signed St. Brown from Green Bay, so they put some money in him because they really had no receivers going into this thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had no receivers. So they've given Goff a great chance to see what's going on.
So, Pascal, they go defensive end Kentucky. They go safety Joseph out of Illinois. They took a tight end, but most just top heavy as far as Hutchinson falling to them at 2, the native son as he's being called in Michigan, and then Jameson Williams, who I think was as far as just quality and speed and just explosiveness, if he recovers from that, and you do have concerns long-term about the injury, but if he recovers.
I was told by some teams, I asked that question to a couple teams, and he has really no arthritis or anything in that knee, so he should be fine.
His tape pops.
Yeah, so he should be fine. So, look, I mean, this team is really good up front. I mean, their offensive line got better as the year went on. Sewell started to adapt to the right tackle position. Decker's a good left tackle. They're good inside. Ragnon, the center. And Swift, we know Swift's a really good player. So they've got good – and Jamal Williams can be the good change of pace power back that they need. Look, do we love Goff? No one loves Goff. They don't love Goff, But
– Heater for two?
Yeah, exactly. As long as he can stay indoors.
What about your boy – and again, we talked about Campbell ad nauseum because the quotes are there and he's going to be great for Hard Knocks. He was, and you pointed this out many times, he was terrible in game. Now, what he has done is he's built a culture and the players do love him. And there does, that matters. But in game, he was a disaster.
He really was. But now this year, he's turned the offense over to Ben Johnson. So now maybe he'll go back and try to become better at that, and he'll learn from his mistakes. He's a first-year head coach. They actually got better offensively when he took the game up.
Anthony Lynn, his number, that every metric they went up with Campbell calling plays.
So, they got better in that area. I think they'll be a better team. I really do. How can they get any worse on defense?
They can't be any worse overall. I mean,
yeah, I mean, and so, look, they still have questions at corner. The team speed of their defense is still a concern.
Thank you, Matt Patricia.
But they're actually improving. I mean, it was one draft. And would you get Williams out there with Chark? You got two really fast players. You better be careful.
What would you set the season win total for the Lions at?
7.
6. So again, I always like to get Michael's just initial take, and then you compare it to the market. And right there, I'm going over the 6. That's what I do. Philadelphia, the Eagles mostly get A's across the board. Jordan Davis at 13. His position was 14.5. So if you had the under, you cashed the big. And you talk about special just attributes. I don't know if there's a player outside of Williams and his speed. I don't know if there's a player in the draft that just comes already special with his size and his strength and his speed. They go Juergens at center out of Nebraska. Nakobe Dean, who slipped, the linebacker, popped every time he watched Georgia. That was their third overall pick. And then they got a linebacker and a tight end. Philadelphia, the Eagles draft.
Well, I mean, look, I think they got a good player inside to go along with Fletcher Cox and Jarden Hargrave. They got Milton Williams in there, who they drafted in the third round last year. So their defensive line has been the strength. I don't know if Dean's going to be able to play for him this next year based on the intelligence that I received in terms of the pec muscle that's a concern. So, you know, you got to worry a little bit about that. But, look, they're in perfect position. They have 2-1s next year. They've got a good team. They've got a really good backup quarterback. And, you know, everybody wants them to draft a receiver, but now they get A.J. Brown to come in there to kind of help them out, run after the catch, give them somebody who could take a 5-yard pass and turn it into a 20-yard
game. Devontae's the perfect compliment.
Devontae's
to
the
take
perfect
the top
compliment
off.
Outside. You know, I don't know where this all fits with the great Jalen Reagor, who's going to demand a trade. I mean, there's going to be fallout of this draft. Rieger's one of those guys who's going to get traded. Keneal Harry's going to get – I mean, these are going to be guys falling out because of all the receivers. It's, you know, you got to make room for the new guys coming in.
Remember, those receivers that were bunched were Rieger, Ayuk. Ayuk started to pop last year for San Francisco.
He started to play,
He started to play a little bit.
He plays better than Harry, there's no doubt.
100%. That division, NFC East, so you know the Cowboys are -150 favorites. The Eagles are your second betting favorite in division at +250. I think that's a little bit more. I don't have them as a team that can win a Super Bowl, but I do think they could win that division at +250. The Commanders are 5-1, and the Giants are 10-1 in division NFC East.
The Giants are going to be – they're in a rebuilding mode, and they got to figure out what they're going to do with their quarterback and go from there. But, I mean, the Eagles are a good play here to me to win
plus
the
Plus 250. Two and a half to one.
You know, I think that's a good play. Because they're a hard team to play. You've got to handle the Oklahoma offense. And now all these RPO stuff that they run, you know, with Brown catching the ball on the run on the RPO, that makes it even harder for you. So you got the RPO game, the Oklahoma running game. You know, when they run the ball, like last year, when they ran the ball with Sanders, you know, they were able to do those things. Defensively, they adapted. You know, I wasn't in love with what Jonathan Gannon was doing defensively. And then they adapted later in the season. You know, are they good enough in the secondary? I don't know. Their corner situation is pretty nebulous. I mean, Slay's still a good player, but when they have to play man-to-man, are they good enough? I think that remains to be seen. But they're hard to play. They are hard to play.
The Jets got an A. They're
of
next
course they did.
Here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Lombardi Line, BetMGM, as we welcome you back. Of course, having fun behind the scenes. Our engineer Kevin riding 1 hour asleep into the show today. Although there is a little pep in his step, so I think he's doing well.
He was
well.
Here before me. I just want to be on record.
The kid. Nobody is more prompt.
He's here before I was. And he wasn't late. He was ready to go.
Femi came in looking like he went to the club last night, too. He'll be coming up on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, in a little bit. And we know Stephen Bond keeps it dirty as well, as we welcome you back. We were having a little fun. You know, you talked about McPherson with Cincinnati, who ended up being just a huge piece of that Super Bowl run. And the first special teamer off the board. Cleveland, they took Cade York, the kicker, out of LSU. You were pointing that out as one of the surprises or interesting picks there.
Well, I think it's a reactionary pick. I mean, look, you're the Cleveland Browns, and you're sitting in the division, and you've got to go face, you know, you're going to play Baltimore. It's going to be a tight game. If for you to think it's not, you're crazy. Yeah. If you play Baltimore, you know it's going to be a tight game. You play Cincinnati, you know it's going to be a tight game. It's going to come down to a field goal. And basically, they have the best field goal kickers in Evan Fitzgerald and Justin Tucker. Mm-hmm. They have the two best, and you don't. I mean, you don't. Last year, you were 4-for-10 inside the 40. 4-for-10 inside the 40. You know, and that was McLaughlin. He was 4-for-10 in the 40. Now, he made every kick outside, but that's 6 points. Those 18 points, when you go back over your season, those are killers. Meanwhile, down in Cincinnati, they make those kicks. Over in Baltimore, those are automatic kicks. So I think that's the reaction. So they take York, they take this kid York in the fourth round. I mean, you know, so they take him in the fourth. They probably get a round early. But to me, look, if we don't match who we're playing. You know, one of the things we used to do, this was a Sparky Anderson thing in baseball.
Nice.
So Sparky Anderson used to have a board. I read this from Sparky. Al Davis did this too. So he would have every team he played when he was the manager of the Reds, he would compare his player to those players and where his team's strengths and weaknesses were. So, you know, catcher, first baseball. So in football, you do the same thing. You know, and when you have the third or fourth worst player, kicker or position in the conference, how are you think you're going to win the division if you're bad in these five areas? If you have the worst guard, the worst center, like Atlanta, you got one of the worst centers, the worst guard. Let's, you know, go through that. How do we think we're going to win the division? Well, when Cleveland's looking at their board and they're sitting there saying, look, we have the worst kicker in this division. How do we think we're going to win these close games if we have this bad a kicker? So they take a shot on a guy who's rumored to be, and nobody knows with kickers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like back injuries. Nobody knows, right? You don't know if you have them. And so they take the guy they think is the most accurate.
I was thinking the kicker out of Florida State a few years back. Many thought he was going to be the best kicker.
Oh yeah, the kid the Bears drafted.
My goodness,
is Panero? No, well, not Panero. They had Panero.
Aguayo. Well, Aguayo. Nice. Many thought Aguayo was going to be the best kicker we've seen since Janikowski, or as far as hype. And he I don't know if he lasted a full season. I mean, he had the yips. So that you never know. Many had York graded above what McPherson was last year. If that holds true, this is going to be good. Now, obviously, with Cleveland, and I'll give you the numbers, Michael, a lot of that draft capital early is tied up in Watson, not just this year, but next year as well. They do add Amari Cooper. And are you surprised they are your favorites in division just by a smidge? Now, it depends on what book you're looking at, but the Browns are plus 175 in the AFC North. The Bengals 2-1, the Ravens plus 220. So it's all essentially the same 1-2-3, and then you've got the Steelers 9-1.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't see Mike Tomlin does a remarkable job. For him to win 8 games last year with that team, and Ben Roethlisberger was his quarterback, hats off to him. But I think this is up and down. The Browns got to get better on run defense. They got to get better on third down defense, red zone defense. But those 18 points that they lost on those mid-range 40-yard field goals, which these kickers today, they're not that's not the hard kick. Now, what the problem is, one of the things Belichick did the first minute he arrived in Cleveland in 1991 was he wanted to sign Matt Stover because he knew Cleveland, the weather was going to be a factor. And the kicker in this weather with the wind swirling on Lake Erie, like you could drive down to the stadium on any Sunday afternoon. It could be sunny and breeze. And once you get in that stadium, it's a whole different, the season's changed completely. The wind swirls. So they take the York kid who's kicked mostly in great weather all the time. Mostly. You know, you're in LSU. McPherson, the same thing at Florida. He kicked in great weather all the time too. So this kid makes a, you know, he's 54 for 66 on a lifetime of field goals at there. So now the only thing you have to do is say, can he kick in bad weather? Like, can he kick in bad? Like Gary Anderson, the great kicker for Pittsburgh, every time he came to Cleveland, you could count on him missing a kick. As automatic as he was in his career, he was going to miss one because the grass was bad. He didn't like it. The wind, he didn't feel like he could judge, all that. That's what you got to play into. And this is such an important in a game, in a sport that's ultimately decided, 75% of it decided by 4 points or less, this guy becomes really important.
A name that I don't think many just casual NFL fans will know, but Michael will know, and I think he's kind of a legend at this point. Kevin Colbert ran his last draft for the Steelers, who is a personnel man that I always was praying the Lions, because I think he started with the Lions.
He started in Miami, and then he got hired by his friend, his buddy, his high school friend, who was the personnel director in Detroit. And then from Detroit, he went to Pittsburgh.
And he did a hell of a job. They needed to replace receivers Juju, of course, and James Washington. We know they took Pickett at 20. They go George Pickens, wide receiver George, at 52. Pickens is an interesting case, and they took Calvin Austin at 138, another receiver. Pickens, Michael, is an interesting case because without the injuries at Georgia, he might have been right up there as far as the first wide receiver off the board. He's just a stud, but he dealt with injuries. We know this, a big receiver that can do some damage. So they took the two receivers. And they took also the defensive end out of A&M, the Steelers, who are your fourth betting favorite in division.
I mean, look, the question mark for the Steelers to me is going to continue to be their offensive line. Are they good enough up front? They did not look that last year. And now without a, you know, with a quarterback who's not going to get rid of the ball in the next gen greatest stats of all time in under 2 seconds, you know, Trubisky's going to hold the ball. Pickett's going to hold the ball because they're not going to know what to do it sometimes. Sure. So will this line get worse because of it? I mean, Big Ben could mask a little bit of it because the ball was coming out of his hand so damn quick. So I think that's going to be the biggest question mark. But, I mean, look, you got Claypool and Pickens. You might have two of the biggest receivers in football. If you're Cleveland and you got to go match up to those guys, you better have a big corner.
Yeah.
Because this is the reaction. Like, if you're sitting in your draft room, instead of patting yourself on the back, you got to look at your opponents and say, okay, they got these two big receivers. We better go get a big corner. Maybe that's why Cleveland traded Troy Hill, because they feel like, look, we can't live with this 4'5" guy. We'll give him back to the Rams, even though we gave him a huge contract last year. So I think they are, because the way they play defense, the way they are able to rush the passer with certainly the best rusher in TJ Watt, and Highsmith played better than I thought he would last year. You know, I love the Miles Jack signing. I really do. I loved Miles Jack. And I know he's coming off of the injury a couple years ago. I think he's going to be dynamic for him. You know, with him inside, I think he's going to be really a good player. So to me, I'm so uncertain about the quarterback. I don't have a feel for going over their win total.
You know, if you could place a bet on Najee Harris signing a second deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, you might want to fade that because, I mean, his usage last year, he accounted for everything on offense, and he was a rookie. They're going to wear that kid out. I think he was maybe the second highest usage player across the NFL. Najee Harris did everything. I mean, I think he only ran for like 3.5 a pop, but he caught the ball a ton. He just was everywhere in that offense because Ben couldn't stretch the field.
They couldn't. The field shrunk, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Mitchell and how long of a leash do they give Mitchell. You know, because one thing about Pickett will pick up the scheme pretty easily.
Yeah.
You know, at Pitt, I mean, he'll know what to do. Now, where will they do that? And where's this push Mason Rudolph? You know, where does that put Mason Rudolph? You know, and like, because they got four quarterbacks. They're probably going to try to, you know, they'll put the one kid that they drafted in the 7th round from South Dakota State, Oladokun, on practice. So that gives them their four quarterbacks. But to me, where does that fit everybody? I think this is a team that if they get good quarterbacking play could be a big surprise to people. I really think
And we know Pickett's going to feel comfortable at Heinz Field. That's where he played. Yeah. So he's coming home literally.
There's another place that's hard to kick, right?
I mean, it's swirling, especially at one end.
At one end, and Boswell seems to do it really well. So, you know, this is why I think that the Cade York pick is so critical for Cleveland when you break it down.
Stay in division just to finish off the North. Cincinnati went to a Super Bowl last year with the first round pick, 31 overall. They took Daxton Hill, who a lot of people like, the safety out of Michigan. And their second pick was another safety out of Nebraska. So they're going to try to continue the success they had last year, Michael.
Well, I mean, they're trying to fix it. Look, the one thing they did in the offseason is they made it an attempt to fix their offensive line. You know, they signed Ted Karras. You know, they've signed Karras. They signed Collins, who was with the coach from Dallas. So they've got the right tackle situation. They signed Kappa at right guard. I mean, they rebuilt the offensive line.
Yeah,
they have rebuilt the offensive line. Put Carrison at center. You know, the Jackson Carmen kid from Clemson, who they drafted in the second round. So they done that. I mean, they really didn't need anything on offense. I mean, they can just continue to focus on defense, and they were good on defense. And if they get their Hendrickson, if they get him back at full strength, this B.J. Hill kid that they traded for from the Giants was a blessing for them, really.
Kappa did a great job with It's a Wonderful Life. Was that him?
Frank. That's probably his grandfather.
It was Capra. Something like
Remember,
that.
They drafted two safeties.
Coming back. We'll discuss it. Oh. Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Exactly.
VSiN Spring is here. $59. Okay, so we get everything through July 31st. I mean, when I say everything, of course, Kentucky Derby betting guide, USFL, NASCAR, but here's what you're really going to get. Adam Burke's daily MLB plays and the best bets from Major League Baseball. Jonathan Von Tobel with the best bets from the association, the NBA. Andy McNeil breaking down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. Okay, so we've got everything for you through July 31st for $59. This is a tremendous deal. VSiN.com/spring. Also, point spread weekly involved. VSiN.com/spring. Michael Lombardi there, and by that I don't mean New Jersey, literally right here over there in studio with us. I'm Patrick Maher. This is the Lombardi Line. We head out to Atlantic City and say hi to Thomas Gable. He runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. He's our partner, and we say hi, TG. How you doing?
Doing well, guys. How are you guys? Is this the last day for Michael in Las Vegas, or is he still staying out there?
No, Pat, no, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back and see you. I've got to be back in the Philadelphia area to witness the series, you know, to join forces with all our friends and
the wake.
Okay.
The wake and celebrate, you know, celebrate the Broad Street Parade that's going to occur based on the Eagles draft. We'll get ready for that.
Wait, they're going to celebrate a first round win?
Well, they're going to win everything now.
Oh.
You don't know that?
Without Embiid?
This is not checkers, Patrick. We don't just jump one move. We jump. You get queen when you make good moves in Philadelphia.
Fair enough.
You know, so you jump all that. Right, Thomas?
That's right. So I don't know. What are you more excited for, the Sixers or the Eagles season?
I'm more excited to get angry at Doc for not playing Paul Reed and Charles Bassey during the season. And then when they go out there, they look like crap. And then I'm going to see, this is exactly I know where I'm going with this.
don't get him started. What is the series price now? Obviously, the Embiid injury changes everything. But what did you adjust to, like Miami minus 450?
Yes. That's correct.
That's a
correct.
Big number.
A big move there. And, Michael, what price would you make Reed fouling out in game one? I'm going to say maybe $1.80.
Oh, I would say lower than that. I mean, by the third quarter, he's going to foul out.
A lot of positivity about the 76ers.
Well, he just fouls. I mean, he fouls all the time. Yeah. I mean, he's not played enough. I mean, that's really the reality. He hasn't played enough. And he shows a lot of energy. Uncontrolled energy at times. And so he doesn't play with any sense of discipline. He doesn't play slow but fast. You know, I don't know if I'm explaining myself. He doesn't play under control. You see the spurts of athleticism. You see why he was the G League Player of the Year. He's got a lot of skills, and he plays with a sense of competitiveness, but that competitiveness is out of control, which leads to fouls.
In all seriousness, though,
I really think you're going to see actually Tobias Harris kind of in that five role for much of this series, and just going to see a much smaller lineup out of Philadelphia because Harris can potentially play the five. I think he has enough. Obviously, he's undersized for five, but he has the ability, I think, to play in that role. for short periods, and you're just going to see a small ball lineup out of the Sixers.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, watch Butler go to the rim, right? Lowry and then Butler.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, without that defensive anchor and the big, I totally agree. I think Giannis could have historic numbers and still lose this series in five or six. Give me your take on the Bucks-Celtics. That's coming up in just a couple of hours here. Give me the number for today, but I just want your overview on the series as well, Thomas.
Yeah, so, well, if you're looking at the series price, the Celtics minus 225 right now as they head into game one. And game one, Celtics favored by 4.5 points. The total has come back to where we opened at 218.5. So you're seeing a little bit of movement here late to the over. But this is the most anticipated series, I think, of the second round. The Celtics coming off the sweep of Brooklyn against the defending champs in Milwaukee. You know, these teams split the four games in the regular season. They finished with the exact same record. Boston had the tiebreaker and were seated ahead of Milwaukee. And now you may be tempted to say this will be a matchup of one of the best defenses in the league in Boston going up against one of the best offenses in Milwaukee. But it's been the Bucks who have been shown their ability lately to raise their defensive levels. And everyone knows the type of defensive player Marcus Smart is, but don't sleep on Drew Holiday, who's a great on-ball defender. I think this is a series where I think home court is really going to matter. The absence of Middleton is going to hurt. We saw him get red hot in quite a few games last year in the playoffs, so the Bucks will really need other players to step up and help Giannis in the scoring department. Like you said, Patrick, you know, Giannis could go, you know, an average over 30 points a game, but will it be enough? They're going to need someone else to really step up and help him with that load. And you have to wonder if Milwaukee's second-guessing their choice to not show up in their final regular season game there because they wanted to avoid the Nets if they got the two seed. Because now they don't have home court advantage for this series.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe the Bucks they'll want to push the tempo in these games, make them as high-scoring as possible because I would say the lower the score, the more it's going to favor Boston in this series.
No doubt. And I think you're right. I mean, I think they just got scared of Brooklyn, right, Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
I think they got scared of Brooklyn.
Remember,
I think
put our heads in a pretzel that day, but he's 100% right. They avoided it. Boston didn't avoid it, and now Boston has the home court.
Yeah, and Boston's got great momentum. I mean, look, their confidence level's at an extreme high. I hope for the sake, even though Boston swept them, Brooklyn, they were four really good games. Didn't you feel like that? They were four good games.
Absolutely.
That could have gone either way, you know, and so I don't know if Milwaukee can play four of those kind of games without Middleton. I think that's going to be the hardest thing. Why I don't see it.
The Middleton piece is too much to overcome. I totally agree. Are you – DraftKings just went to five with Boston off the 4.5 opener. How about you, Thomas?
No, we're still sitting at four and a half here. And, you know, we are taking Boston money, so – again, I think you're going to start seeing some fives if DraftKings was the first there. But, yeah, we certainly have the money and the ticket count here favoring Boston. If I'd be leaning this game, I would lean maybe Boston first half and grab the 2.5 there in the first half.
How about the under? I think the under's in play. We had Will Hill on earlier, and he liked the under. He likes Milwaukee under the 107, and I think that's a good play. And I think the under in this game, I do think this is not going to – the pace is going to be controlled by Boston's defense. And, you know, if you're Milwaukee, do you want this to be a high-paced game? I think because you're losing one of your best scorers.
That under cashed
in. Well, I think they do.
Yeah, and
I think Milwaukee does.
Yeah, I totally agree with both of you. I believe the under cashed in all five Bulls-Bucks games, right? Yeah, it did, the more that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So – the Bucks haven't been on fire offensively. They were very good defensively, Michael, against the Bulls, but not offensively. And this is, it's not, to me, it's not the 0-4 Pistons defensively, but Boston is like, they're not, I mean, they're close to getting to a point where they're all-time great just because their wings can switch all over
no
the
doubt.
Place.
And what Thomas said about Holiday, okay. He's a good defender, but he turned the ball over in a couple of those games way too much. And when he corrected it, they were able to get, that's when Chicago lost the game. He couldn't control the ball.
Yep.
So with Smart on the ball, defense is going to be challenging.
And remember, you saw a lot of poor shooting performances from the Bucks in that series against
yes.
Chicago. You know, pace of play was not the issue. It was the poor shooting.
That's 100% right. I want your take on the Warriors-Grizzlies series overall. Then we'll get to the numbers. Give me your take just overall on the series.
I think this all comes down to experience. Warriors minus 275 in a series price. I would, you know, look to certainly bet the Warriors here. I think just the experience factor is going to be too much. Does Memphis win a game or two? Yeah, they probably can. But I think if Golden State plays under control with the core of this core group here for Golden State, I mean, they have all the experience. They know how to do this. They know how to be successful. Memphis is a young, exciting team. But if Golden State plays under control, limits the turnovers, I don't see a path really forward for Memphis here. Even if they steal, a game in Golden State, Golden State's peaking right now with their offense, and it's going to be a tough, tough road for Memphis.
Yeah, I see that too. I mean, I think this is an experience. I mean, look, Memphis is here. I think they're resolved to win the game. Their experience got them past the Pelicans. But those, you know, there was opportunity, excuse me, against the Timberwolves, but there were so many opportunities for the Timberwolves 100%. To close that thing out.
How many double-digit leads did they have?
I mean,
they
Timberwolves didn't have that killer instinct. The Warriors, we know they do.
Thomas, last night at the book, what'd you have, boxing and UFC? I mean, there was just, it felt like there was a lot of action late night.
There was. You know, we had the UFC there on ESPN, which always is a nice little draw there when it's nationally televised. And, yeah, I mean, between baseball, no NBA games, obviously, yesterday. So you thought it would be a slower day, but Handel was very good yesterday here. So can't complain. And now the draft is wrapped up. And, you know, I always said when you go in and you're booked the draft, if you can break even, count it as a win. We ended up with a small peanut as a win, and so I'm happy with that.
Hey,
I'm very happy with that.
Is there any truth to the rumor you discovered Sebastian Maniscalco?
That's true.
I did not personally discover him, no, but yes, he played very, very early on here. We kept booking him and kept booking him, and he's blown up.
See that? You know, the man can see talent.
Thomas is humble.
The man recognized talent. And, yes. You know, I think when he was on stage, if they would have let him talk and Big Ed was talking, you know, he would have thanked Thomas in the Borgata.
TG, we'll see you tomorrow. It's the Lombardi Line.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Exactly.
VSiN Spring is here. $59. Okay, so we get everything through July 31st. I mean, when I say everything, of course, Kentucky Derby betting guide, USFL, NASCAR, but here's what you're really going to get. Adam Burke's daily MLB plays and the best bets from Major League Baseball. Jonathan Von Tobel with the best bets from the association, the NBA. Andy McNeil, breaking down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. Okay, so we've got everything for you through July 31st for $59. This is a tremendous deal. VSiN.com/spring. Also, Point Spread Weekly involved. VSiN.com/spring. Michael Lombardi there, and by that I don't mean New Jersey, literally right here over there in studio with us. I'm Patrick Maher. This is the Lombardi Line. We head out to Atlantic City and say hi to Thomas Gable. He runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. He's our partner. And we say, hi, TG. How you doing?
Doing well, guys. How are you guys? Is this the last day for Michael in Las Vegas, or is he still staying out there?
No, Pat, no, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back and see you. I've got to be back in the Philadelphia area to witness the the series, you know, to join forces with all our friends and
the wake.
Okay.
The wake and celebrate, you know, you celebrate the Broad Street Parade that's going to occur based on the Eagles draft. We'll get ready for that.
Wait, they're going to celebrate a first round win?
Well, they're going to win everything now.
Oh.
You don't know that?
Without Embiid?
This is not checkers, Patrick. We don't just jump one move. We jump. You get queen when you make good moves in Philadelphia.
Fair enough.
You know, so you jump all that. Right, Thomas?
That's right. So I don't know. What are you more excited for, the Sixers or the Eagles season?
I'm more excited to get angry at Doc for not playing Paul Reed and Charles Bassey during the season. And then when they go out there, they look like crap. And then I'm going to – see, this is exactly – I know where I'm going with this
one. Don't get them started. What is the series price now? Obviously, the Embiid injury changes everything. But what – did you adjust to, like, Miami minus 450?
Yes. That's correct.
That's
a correct.
Big number.
Big move there. And Michael, what price would you make Reed fouling out in game one? I'm going to say maybe $1.80.
I would say lower than that. I mean, by the third quarter, he's going to foul out.
A lot of positivity about the 76ers.
Well, he just fouls. I mean, he fouls all the time. I mean, he's not played enough. I mean, that's really the reality. He hasn't played enough, and he shows a lot of energy. Uncontrolled energy at times, and so he doesn't play with any sense of discipline. He doesn't play slow but fast. You know, I don't know if I'm explaining myself. He doesn't play under control. You see the spurts of athleticism. You see why he was the G League Player of the Year. He's got a lot of skills, and he plays with a sense of competitiveness. But that competitiveness is out of control, which leads to fouls.
Let's do this.
In all seriousness, though, I really think you're going to see actually Tobias Harris kind of in that five role for much of this series, and just going to see a much smaller lineup out of Philadelphia because Harris can potentially play the five. I think he has enough. Obviously, he's undersized for five, but he has the ability, I think, to play in that role for short periods, and you're just going to see a small ball lineup out of the Sixers.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, watch Butler go to the rim, right? Lowry and then Butler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, without that defensive anchor and the big, I totally agree. I think Giannis could have historic numbers and still lose this series in five or six. Give me your take on the Bucks-Celtics. That's coming up in just a couple of hours here. Give me the number for today, but I just want your overview on the series as well, Thomas.
Yeah, so, well, if you're looking at the series price, the Celtics minus 225 right now as they head into game one. And game one, Celtics favored by 4.5 points. The total has come back to where we opened at 218.5. So you're seeing a little bit of movement here late to the over. But this is the most anticipated series, I think, of the second round. The Celtics coming off the sweep of Brooklyn against the defending champs in Milwaukee. You know, these teams split the four games in the regular season. They finished with the exact same record. Boston had the tiebreaker and were seeded ahead of Milwaukee. And they may be tempted to say this will be a matchup of one of the best defenses in the league in Boston going up against one of the best offenses in Milwaukee. But it's been the Bucks who have been shown their ability lately to raise their defensive levels. And everyone knows the type of defensive player Marcus Smart is, but don't sleep on Drew Holiday, who's a great on-ball defender. I think this is a series where I think home court is really going to matter. The absence of Middleton is going to hurt. We saw him get red hot in quite a few games last year in the playoffs, so the Bucks will really need other players to step up and help Giannis in the scoring department. Like you said, Patrick, you know, Giannis could go, you know, an average over 30 points a game, but will it be enough? They're going to need someone else to really step up and help him with that load. And you have to wonder if Milwaukee's second-guessing their choice to not show up in their final regular season game there because they wanted to avoid the Nets if they got the two seed. because now they don't have a home court advantage for this series.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe the Bucks, they'll want to push the tempo in these games, make them as high scoring as possible, because I would say the lower the score, the more it's going to favor Boston in this series.
No doubt. And I think you're right. I mean, I think they just got scared of Brooklyn, right, Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
I think they got scared of Brooklyn.
Remember,
I think
put our heads in a pretzel that day, but he's 100% right. They avoided it. Boston didn't avoid it, and now Boston has the home court.
Yeah, and Boston's got great momentum. I mean, look, their confidence level is at an extreme high. I hope for the sake, even though Boston swept them, Brooklyn, they were four really good games. Didn't you feel like that? They were four good games.
Absolutely.
That could have gone either way, you know, and so I don't know if Milwaukee can play four of those kind of games without Middleton. I think that's going to be the hardest thing. Why I don't see it.
The Middleton piece is too much to overcome. I totally agree. Are you – DraftKings just went to five with Boston off the 4.5 opener. How about you, Thomas?
No, we're still sitting at we're still sitting 4.5 here. And, you know, we are taking Boston money. So, again, I think you're going to start seeing some fives if DraftKings was the first there. But, yeah, we certainly have the money and the ticket count here favoring Boston. If I'd be leaning this game, I would lean maybe Boston first half and grab the 2.5 there in the first half.
How about the under? I think the under's in play. We had Will Hill on earlier, and he liked the under. He likes Milwaukee under the 107, and I think that's a good play. And I think the under in this game, I do think this is not going to – the pace is going to be controlled by Boston's defense. And, you know, if you're Milwaukee, do you want this to be a high-paced game? I think because you're losing one of your best scorers.
That undercashed.
Well, I think they do.
Yeah, and
I think Milwaukee does.
Yeah, I totally agree with both of you. I believe the undercashed in all five Bulls-Bucks games, right? Yeah, it did, the more that I think about it. Mm-hmm. The Bucks haven't been on fire offensively. They were very good defensively, Michael, against the Bulls, but not offensively. And it's not the 0-4 Pistons defensively, but Boston is like, they're close to getting to a point where they're all-time great just because their wings can switch all over
the
place.
No doubt. And what Thomas said about Holiday, okay, he's a good defender, but he turned the ball over in a couple of those games way too much. And when he corrected it, they were able to get – that's when Chicago lost the game, and he couldn't control the ball.
Yep.
So with Smart on the ball, defense is going to be challenging.
And remember, you saw a lot of poor shooting performances from the Bucks in that series against Chicago. The pace of play was not the issue. It was the poor shooting.
That's 100% right. I want your take on the Warriors-Grizzlies series overall. Then we'll get to the numbers. Give me your take just overall in the series.
I think this all comes down to experience. Warriors minus 275 in the series price. I would look to certainly bet the Warriors here. I think just the experience factor is going to be too much. Does Memphis win a game or two? Yeah, they probably can. But I think if Golden State plays under control with the core of this core group here for Golden State, I mean, they have all the experience. They know how to do this. They know how to be successful. Memphis is a young, exciting team. But if Golden State plays under control, limits the turnovers, I don't see a path really forward for Memphis here. Even if they steal, a game in Golden State, Golden State's peaking right now with their offense, and it's going to be a tough, tough road for Memphis.
Yeah, I see that too. I mean, I think this is an experience. I mean, look, Memphis is here. I think they're resolved to win the game. Their experience got them past the Pelicans. But those – there was against the Timberwolves, but there were so many opportunities for the Timberwolves 100%. To close that thing out.
How many double-digit leads did they have?
I mean,
give
they
up?
Just, to me, the Timberwolves didn't have that killer instinct. The Warriors, we know they do.
Thomas, last night at the book, what did you have, boxing and UFC? I mean, there was just, it felt like there was a lot of action late night.
There was. You know, we had the UFC there on ESPN, which always is a nice little draw there when it's nationally televised. And, yeah, I mean, between baseball, no NBA games, obviously, yesterday. So you thought it would be a slower day. But Handel was very good yesterday here. So can't complain. And now the draft is wrapped up. And, I always said when you go in and you're booked the draft, if you can break even, count it as a win.
Try me a
river. We ended up with a small peanut as a win, and so I'm happy with that.
Hey,
is
there any truth to the rumor you discovered Sebastian Maniscalco?
That's true.
He, I did not personally discover him, no. But, yes, he played very, very early on here. We kept booking him and kept booking him, and he's blown up.
See that? You know, the man can see talent.
Thomas is humble.
The man recognized talent. And, yes. You know, I think when he was on stage, if they would have let him talk and Big Ed was talking, you know, he would have thanked Thomas in the Borgata.
TG, we'll see you tomorrow. It's the Lombardi Line.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
Whether you're a novice or a seasoned veteran in the sports book, VSiN is here to help you improve your sports betting skills. VSiN has assembled the leading team of insiders and handicappers to analyze every angle of every game so you can make the most informed wagering decisions. The VSiN approach is simple. The more you know as a sports bettor, the better chance you have to succeed. We cover every sport from the bettor's perspective, and we bring that excitement, experience, nail-biting agony, and of course, the pure fun of the action to our broadcasts. VSiN also has unparalleled digital resources on VSiN.com and our mobile app. Plus, our daily emails bring you today's biggest stories, and Point Spread Weekly delivers in-depth coverage of the biggest betting events of the week. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you didn't catch Follow the Money, here's what you missed.
Walker, why was this, Paulie? Why was Walker still around 450 to be the first pick? We're talking give or take an hour before the draft.
Good point. He's even had later Quanu money, too, at points but in other places. I mean, the cat was out of the bag
right
at that point, as far as I was concerned. You're right. Several people reported even Wednesday that it was a done deal. Excellent point there. The Hutchinson-Thibodeau thing at number two. What would happen at number three? All that was heating up. And in the talk about could someone move up or back with the trades, which turned out to be crazy, too.
But so then what happened with that late steam on Thibodeau going number two and Hutchinson then falling? Because that was circulating like gangbusters again yesterday.
I don't know.
I heard a bunch of stuff on Hutchinson.
Follow the Money, weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Pacific on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check out the new betting splits feature on VSiN.com before you place your next bet. Every day we post the latest splits with the percentage of bets and money on teams and total for each game. Track which teams are seeing the most tickets written and if the public action matches the money coming in on those games to give yourself an edge. Betting splits plus live odds, line moves, power ratings, and game analysis makes VSiN.com the place to visit before you place your next bet. That's VSiN.com.
This spring, the VSiN experts are giving you the complete betting coverage and insights you need to cash in on every sport. And right now, you can get access to everything we have to offer through July for only $59. The VSiN experts are analyzing every playoff game, along with daily coverage of baseball, tennis, soccer, and golf. And of course, you'll get our daily best bet emails, 24/7 video streaming, and betting splits on VSiN.com. Don't wait. Sign up now and save over 50% at VSiN.com/spring.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
King of Sportsbooks, unleash the spirit of Vegas, rewards program over at BetMGM. It's pretty cool. You can redeem the online bonuses, convert them into comps. at MGM Resorts nationwide. So you can do whatever you want. It's a loyalty program like your credit card. You get points every time you bet through BetMGM.com or the BetMGM app. You got to be 21 years or older. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. As we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, we've got Femi and James Salinas coming up next, betting across America. But right now, we got one more segment with our guy, Michael Lombardi, in studio. Then he's headed to Cancun after the show.
No, I don't think you can get me there, Patrick. I mean, I don't think you're going to get me there.
Well, speaking of Cancun, I don't know where the golf is being played, but our next guest, Wes Reynolds, he's sweating out an early Mexican Open bet this morning as we say hi to VSiN host Wes Reynolds. Hi, Wes.
Yeah, good morning, guys. This is over in Catalonia, Spain, for the Catalonia Championship.
Oh, I'd go there. Close to Mexico. I'd go there. Okay, I'm
thanks,
okay.
Femi.
We thought we were in Puerto Vallarta. Femi told us we were in Puerto Vallarta. I mean, I wasn't going there. I watched too many narco episodes. Like, I wasn't going
there. We are in Puerto Vallarta later this afternoon. I got Cam Champ, two-back John Rahm. So, also have Audrey Arnaus, the Spaniard, trying to get his first DP World Tour win over here in Catalonia on the playoff.
Femi, you were right. I apologize.
You know, Wes, I tip my hat to you. You are a worldwide golf player. I mean, there's
you're on the worldwide West.
That's what they call me, guys.
You're on
yes.
the European Tour and the American Tour. That's fairly impressive. Where's Ricky Fowler playing this weekend?
I don't believe he is playing this weekend. He is in the Wells Fargo Field though next week, Michael. So maybe that's where he gets off the schneid next week around the DC area.
Wow, you think he'd play him?
You're obsessed with Ricky.
I would like to have a conversation with Ricky.
What would you say?
I would say, Ricky, look, you got too much talent to not be this, to not win, and it's really in between your ears. You got to stop being a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, you're not the greeter at Caesar's Palace. Like we got to stop. We got to get back to it. We got to get this thing going. You're too good to not win. Like God gave you this talent.
Give me a comp in the NFL. Wasted talent. Just worry.
Jeff George.
Oh my gosh, he could sling it like
Jeff George.
Well, Wes knows Jeff George.
Oh man, those are scars that never heal for us Indianapolis Colts fans with Jeff George.
Oh, could he sling
Joy
it?
Of Warren Central High School and eventually got booed out of his own stadium in his own hometown.
He could sling it.
He could. He's got great ability. I mean, there's nothing. You know, what's that Bronx Tale line? There's nothing worse than cheated talent.
Yeah.
You know, wasted talent. I mean, Ricky's got too much. I mean, not that he hasn't won, but the job is to win majors. The job is to create a legacy for yourself and to compete at the highest level. And you got to raise your game. You can't be so happy for everybody else.
Wes, did you enjoy the Dustin Johnson, Paulina Gretzky wedding? I know you were there.
I did enjoy, and you could see the pictures on the Instagram of the lovely Paulina Gretzky marrying Dustin Johnson. So a fun time was had by all down in Tennessee.
Well, I can tell you this. Blackberry Farms, one of the greatest venues you could ever go to. So Blackberry Farms, I've never been, but Blackberry, the reason I know this is because I'm the owner of two Legotos. Blackberry Farms has become the Legoto central place in America. Both my dogs are from Italy, but you had to go to Italy to get them. But they're breeding. They're trying to create truffles in Tennessee. It's a beautiful venue. It's right near Knoxville.
Yeah.
It's outside of Knoxville. And they have, actually, Jason Witten has a Legoto from Blackberry Farms. So this is where you're kind of going to get it. So I'm sure Paulina and Dustin got a Legoto.
They got a dog on the way.
The greatest
out.
Gift ever. I mean, Josh McDaniels and I were talking about last night. He has two. I have two. The greatest ever.
Nashville, the new Austin. Everybody's going
That's
to
right.
Nashville.
That's right.
We've got two series opening today. The Bucks and Celtics. I know you have a play. So I'll start with the late one, the Warriors Grizzlies. It's a tough spot for the Grizz coming back home here. I know you don't have a play here, but just give me an overview, Wes, on the series.
Yeah, and I do like Golden State. I think everybody else kind of likes Golden State in this series, too. Even though Memphis did go 3-1 in the regular season series, Curry played in three of those four games, but Draymond only played in two of those games. Klay Thompson only played in one. And you look at the Warriors, they're just kind of hitting their stride right now. I think Steve Kerr going with that quote-unquote death lineup, as it's been dubbed, with Curry and Thompson and Jordan. Cool and going small, and they can just spread you out so much. And, you know, I wonder if Memphis is going to have a trouble with that, because you kind of saw that Minnesota was able to do that at least a little bit in the opening round. What Minnesota basically did was play Steven Adams out of the series, and that forced Memphis to go small. I think Golden State might be able to force them to go small either. I don't want to overvalue the Warriors, because look, Denver we saw what happened with Jokic. I mean, he was doing his damnedest to carry this team without Murray, without Porter Jr. He just couldn't get any consistent help in that series. However, I do think that the Warriors now, they're kind of finally a flip the switch. They kind of struggled a little bit down the stretch, and you're wondering, okay, what's going on with the Dubs? But I think Golden State just more dynamic offensively, much better defensively. You saw Memphis be so up and down against Minnesota. Now, Memphis maybe is going to play with some house money here because they kind of validated themselves because they were the number two seed. And then Minnesota took game one. It's like, oh, wow, these guys, maybe they aren't that good. So maybe they feel like they're playing a little bit with house money here. But I just think the experience of Golden State, I like them in six games.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think they're going to steal a couple, Patrick, just because of they're getting better. There's no doubt. I mean, and they got – and you get Bane going.
He's
you get
so good.
Brooks, Dylan Brooks going. You get some of these complementary players they have on their team. Jackson plays defense. I mean, they'll be a challenge for them. The hardest thing about handicapping the NBA, Wes, is you can't use the regular season to give you any indication of what the postseason is going to be about. So you have to almost throw that away, and you have to look at the landscape of the games currently – as they play forward, and they struggled with Minnesota. There's no denying it. They struggle with Minnesota, they're going to struggle with Golden State.
And to Michael's point, Wes, the Bucks-Celtics series, they split the series, season series 2-2, both winning two on their home court. But one of the four where two teams were full strength, and that was back in December. So taking the regular season series and applying it to the postseason is dubious. As Michael pointed out, Bucks-Celtics today, you do like the Bucks catching the number. You can get a five right now.
Yeah, and there are some fives starting to show here, and I do like Milwaukee a little bit, even though I've got an Eastern Conference future on Boston long-term from a couple months ago. But if you look, I think maybe Boston could be getting a little bit slightly overvalued off sweeping the Brooklyn Nets, and I think it was part and parcel because Brooklyn was a little bit overvalued. Boston, by the way, has not played since Monday since they completed that sweep. Milwaukee hasn't played since Wednesday. So both these teams for the playoffs have had kind of a little bit of a long layoff, so I'm not sure how that's going to affect the total. It looks like the over is getting money here, but I would maybe lean to the under very small, but I'm not going to play that. I'm going to go ahead and play the Bucks here. I just think that this is a little bit inflated. I know Middleton is injured, but Grayson Allen has made up for his offense. He doesn't make up for Middleton's loss on the defensive end, but Grayson Allen has been the guy. If you've been playing his props, you've been cashing a lot of tickets because he's been hitting a lot of threes. I think Boston's defense is going to be better than Chicago's is, clearly, but this is a little bit inflated. The home court, I don't think, has really meant as much so far in the postseason. You've seen a lot of road victories. We talked about it on Friday, guys, in game six. Over the weekend, you had four road favorites. And all the road teams, all the small road favorites won in game six. So I don't think the home court matters as much as maybe the mainstream press would have you to believe.
I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, look, you're playing the props on my man Grayson Allen. You're playing props on Grayson Allen.
Grayson went nuts in that series.
I mean, you're just playing numbers because there's no way you're like endeared yourself. He's endeared himself as a fan. Like, I want to play him, you know, because you love him. You're just playing the number, and you're right.
Yeah, America's sweetheart, Grayson Allen. The Colts, what'd you think of the draft? Of course, they didn't have their first rounder because of the Carson Wentz trade. Alec Pierce, the big receiver out of Cincinnati, you got to be excited. What'd you think overall there, Wes?
No. I like what they did in the second round and in the third round. Look, not having that pick because of the Wentz deal obviously puts you a little bit behind the eight ball. But I think what Chris Ballard and company got back in that trade, it kind of covered up at least a little bit of a mistake because I think, clearly Carson Wentz did not work out. But I like getting the guy Pierce. I actually like the offensive lineman they got out of Central Michigan, Raymond, who I think that they were targeting. I was noticing maybe some interest in him in the second round, and to get him around later, I think matters. Jelani Woods, the tight end of Virginia, he's only given you 1 year of production, but he's a big dude. He's 6'7". And with Jack Doyle's retirement, you need somebody. I don't know if Mo Ali Cox is like an every down tight end. I think he's a good complimentary number two tight end, but maybe this kid Woods can step in right away. And then I know Ballard and company, they really like Nick Cross, who they traded up for to get at the end of the third round out of Maryland. So I think they came away with a good, decent amount, despite not having a first round pick.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, look, the greatest thing the Colts did was admit they were wrong on Wentz, and they moved forward.
Wes, good luck in Spain.
Thank you, Wes.
Good luck in Mexico. Gracias.
Be careful in Mexico, Wes.
That's Wes Reynolds. Michael.
It's been a pleasure, Patrick.
It's been a blast.
We should do this more often.
Are you going to really be able to get to tomorrow's show? Are you going to be get in time?
Piece of cake. Piece of cake. Get back tomorrow.
No Millie at home?
No Millie. Got
Bachelor.
I got to take care of the Blackberry Farm dogs. I got to see my Bella. I miss her. I haven't seen her in a couple days.
Go see the squad. Thank you. It's great to see you, Patrick. Michael. Femi and James Salinas next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.